Hello and welcome to Bravo, Bravo, effing Bravo. Hi, Mariana.
Hi, Nathan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So much going on.
We've got something to talk about, don't we?
We do. We have to talk about Michael Darby.
The butt grabber. The butt bandit.
Michael Darby, effing Darby.
Oh, my God.
What? The butt bandit. I just got that. I love it.
So I know there's footage going around of him grabbing a cameraman's butt. Is it a cameraman?
It is.
Where did that come from?
Season one.
And no one clocked it until now?
No one's released it till now.
Oh, so I was thinking it was on an episode and someone just zoomed
actually,
in the background.
You are correct. Sorry. As I was saying to you before, I had to look at it from a few different sources. Some of them, the footage looked, I don't know if it looked grainier than others or if someone's actually done some work on it to make it look less grainy potentially before they've uploaded it. It looks like he's done a butt grab.
The way the cameraman sort of recoils and spins around.
He's done something. Look, I don't know if it was a butt grab or if it was in between the leg grab.
I think it was like a Hopper Whitey type situation with the finger up the bum.
Oh, my God. I totally forgot what you were talking about for a sec. I'm not into the ball sport.
So I think you can see him sort of like jaunt on over and then go whoop.
Yes, and correct. And I love the sound effect.
And then the cameraman's like, what?
Yeah. And look, at first I giggled and then I thought if that was a woman, I would be pissed because back in my youth when I used to go out to the club, they were called clubs in my day. I don't know what they're called now.
I think they're still clubs.
Are they?
Yeah.
All right. Back at the discotheque. No, just
no, they're not discotheques.
I'm not that old, I promise. I remember when I was young and naive and went out in anything but pants, I was wearing a skirt.
You'd get the butt grab?
No. Some guy put his entire hand up the skirt.
Gross.
You would think you would be, you'd throw down like Monique. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't. I recoiled and freaked out. So
it's
we're
an
not,
assault.
You don't, yeah, absolutely.
So you don't really know how you're going to act
correct,
when it happens.
Correct.
Yeah.
So when I saw this footage, at first I was like, oh, my God. And I didn't giggle, but I just didn't think of it as seriously. And then I had that memory that I just shared, and I'm like, if that was me, I'd be freaked out. You're at work.
He's at
you
work.
You don't. Yeah. And I'm not saying that one should expect such behavior when they're in public, but I'm just saying that when you're at work, that is – mm-hmm. Like it's just so far removed from what you're like where your focus is.
Yeah,
you're not watching your back at work.
Yeah, and is this the same cameraman or a different one?
I have no idea.
Why was he? I mean, I'm not saying why was he quiet, but like you know, the victims can do whatever they want.
Yeah,
but it didn't come out last time.
No, it didn't come out in season one.
But then last year, the stuff like he never said, oh my God, he did it to me too. Because I'm assuming it's a pattern of behavior at this
point.
Well,
it's obviously a pattern of behavior. And I vaguely am I recalling this right? Did something of the sort similarly happen to Andy?
Did someone grab Andy's butt?
No, as in Michael touched Andy Cohen's butt. I could be making that up because there's just been so many butts I'm at a loss to remember.
I don't know.
So I shouldn't speak out of turn, but.
But
I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think it's on that person to say, hey, that happened to me too. You don't know how it's affected them. You don't know what they've experienced before. So I wish the footage had came out before.
I don't, maybe, no one had clocked it. So some viewer was just like, I'll do a season one rewatch and was like, wait a minute.
Probably.
That's Michael Darby grabbing a butt. Michael Darby, he's the storyline engine for this show.
Oh, he kind of is.
I'd rather watch his storyline than Candace's and Monique's at the moment.
Oh, I know. And here I was thinking that Michael Darby is not going to be invited back next season.
Oh, I think he is.
I don't think he should be.
You don't think he should be?
No.
Yeah, fair enough.
As I said, if he had assaulted women like that, he would not be on the show.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be on the show. What's the difference? There is no difference.
He shouldn't have been invited back this season.
No, he should be told he needs to stay away. But that Ashley is more than fucking welcome. However, for this season, it would be sad not to have Michael and watch
God,
him squirm.
God, it's been good to watch him squirm. That red face.
Oh, so good to watch that fucker squirm.
And he squirms a bit in this episode.
Oh, he does.
And he tries to... We'll get into it.
We'll
but
get
I'm not
into
buying
it.
His excuses.
I have like...
Copious notes?
I have... Well, I do, as you know. But I have... I think I had this theory last time, but I feel like it's... It's definitely, I'm getting more proof to my theory on where Ashley's at and I won't be able to hold back when
we
get there.
The post-nup of it all?
The post-nup of it all, correct, correct.
Right, well, let's get into it. So we start episode 12, it's titled Fully Charged. Little fun little play on words there.
But I can't recall why now.
Because Monique gets charged.
Oh, she gets, I feel like self-stupid. Oh, jeez. This is what we're working with. I'm half a corona down and I don't know what the F's going on.
So we start with Wendy, which isn't always very promising for like, the episode ahead.
No.
So we're talking about her baby Sip and See, and I'm like, another fucking Sip and See.
I know, that's what I thought.
But I will say this one was much more interesting than Ashley's.
It was more entertaining, correct?
It was more entertaining.
It was. I mean, not the intro to it here, because she says, sorry to interrupt you, but she's like, at their Sip and See, it's a Nigerian tradition where we present our newborn baby to our family and friends. And I was like, love, it's the same fucking thing here. But anyway.
But it is much more of a presentation.
Yeah, yeah, like, it's definitely more showy.
Later in the episode when they're holding the baby up Lion King style making it rain on the baby.
Yeah, I know, but they called it something else, which we'll bring up as well.
It was so wonderful
to
watch.
It was good. It was good. Wendy looked great, by the way, in this whole episode. She looked pretty.
I did think she looked pretty. So you're coming around on Wendy?
No.
No. One thing I just found so funny about Wendy this episode, it's like I feel like because she's smart, her brain's ticking and she's thinking, I've got to bring up some storyline material. So she's always asking Eddie about his relatives.
Oh, is that why she's annoying me with Eddie's family?
She's always sitting down and she's like, so your family's not coming.
She's shooting herself in the foot because production's going to turn around and say, you need to bring the family or we're going to drop this storyline.
Oh, I would love to see the family.
Well, you were the one that were telling me last week on social
they're starting to get vocal.
That they're getting vocal. Potentially they'll be happy to come on the show.
I hope so.
That'd be great.
But yeah, so she does talk to Eddie.
Yep.
And about his family situation and whether or not they're coming.
Yep.
And they pretty much say some siblings have congratulated him, but his parents and his other siblings have just blanked him.
Yeah.
That's
totally.
Pretty rough on poor Eddie.
Look, that is rough. We don't know their side of the story. And, I mean, if they have to spend as much time with Wendy as I have, with her constantly reminding everybody that his mother is intimidated by her mother.
It's
like,
fucked,
shut
isn't
your
it?
Mouth. These are not the words that you use. Pick
and it's
other
probably
words.
Not the ex. That's probably not the reason.
Wendy's mother seems a little full of herself.
She's got tickets on herself.
For sure.
Later in the episode, she's wearing a crown.
Yeah. I think that Wendy's mother and Candace's mother, Dorothy, are very similar.
Birds of a feather.
Yes. And I'm not talking about their aggressive tendencies because I don't see any of that from Wendy's mum yet. I just see, Wendy's mum has tickets on herself. It's all about her. She had kids for herself.
Tickets.
Everything's about her.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, I'm like, well, if Eddie's mum is worse than her, no shit, you don't want her around. But two, if Eddie's mum is rolling her eyes going, I'm sick of this woman telling me how fucking fabulous she is, I can't imagine that this woman would hold her tongue for that many years. I imagine that eventually I'd be just like, you know what, you ain't that in a bag of chips, so sit your fat ass down.
You ain't all that in a bag of chips.
Yeah, I told you, I'm old, man. I'm so from the 90s. Sit your fat ass down, and I don't mean literally, I mean figuratively. I don't know, she's got a fat ass. That was so rude. You know what I'm saying. Sit down and shut up.
Sit down and shut up.
Sit down, shut up.
Then we go to Ashley and Michael and they're meeting with Dr. Donna for a therapy session.
I do love that they call them doctor and then reference their first names.
I'm Dr. Donna.
Dr. Donna.
It's like a very Judge Judy type
it
of situation.
It is, Dr.
Phil. And when I was watching this scene, I was thinking about what you said a few weeks ago about what kind of therapist wants to be on these shows.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, this isn't a top-tier therapist.
No, this is someone who wants to be referred to as Dr. Donna.
And, like, her face, like, she's had some work done. She was...
Yes.
Like she's spinning this into something.
My therapist, every time I go to therapy, actually, she's really fantastic. She always looks great. She's always got, like, the big plastic jewels, but they're really pretty.
Oh, like Luann jewellery?
No, way better than Luann.
Okay.
And they're probably not plastic. They're probably stones. I'm just not very educated on such things.
What type of stones? Did you do a deep dive into these stones like with Robin's ring?
No, I didn't. And she's always got the red lippy on. Like I always rock up looking like shit.
Yeah, it's
I have
therapy.
I haven't brushed my hair.
Who are you going to impress?
I'm in my workout gear and she always looks good. But I don't call her doctor and
first
her name.
Yeah.
I mean, I can just say it. I don't call her Dr. Chris. I call her Chris. And she's PhD.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you ain't paying someone $150 an hour if they ain't got a doctor, like a real doctor in front of their name.
Well, Wendy's a doctor, isn't she?
Well, you don't call her Dr. Frickin' Wendy.
Didn't she say, you shall
she's
call
not,
me Professor Wendy or something?
But she's a professor. She's not.
She's unemployed. She's freelance. She's a freelance commentator.
She's part-time. She's at the Centrelink the other half of the time. Kidding.
So at this little therapy session, Ashley says to the therapist, Dr. Donna, she's like, Michael had an indiscretion.
Yeah.
And then immediately they start talking about their threesome history.
And I have a theory as to why.
Why?
Okay. So she does say that. She says she refers to his cheating as indiscretion.
Yeah.
And then she goes straight into their non-traditional marriage, talking about threesomes.
And how they have rules and all that bullshit.
And then, yes, she says we have rules about this, always together and not separately. And my theory is she wants this all on tape. And when I say tape, it's obviously not tape.
Oh, that's a great theory. Yeah, she wants a record of it.
She wants a record of it. And she says, if this happens again, I am out. She said that a few times.
She said it a few times. She says it again to Lump.
So now that we spoke about earlier in the season that their prenup that was extended by 2 years by Michael is now over because they have been married for more than 5 years. Mm-hmm. Now she wants post-nup, which Michael's agreeing to.
Mm-hmm.
If and when this happens again, because she believes there's a... I'm not saying she thinks it's going to happen, because she is still his wife. She still cares about him. She's still hopeful, I'm assuming. Maybe not. But she knows there's a great chance of this happening again. She wants ironclad that there is nothing... Because he could turn around and say, she made me sign this under duress, and she or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a legal expert. I shouldn't even comment in that respect. But she now has footage that her lawyer can subpoena... When he says, he could say things like, oh, you know, he can refer to their threesomes. He can refer to that he didn't know.
Yes.
She literally has it on film saying, always together and not separately, and he's nodding.
Mm-hmm.
She can have that in court.
She's smart.
There are a couple of times, particularly in this therapy session, where I noticed she was pursing her lips and not speaking.
She's like, we're on camera.
She is biding her time and biting her tongue. I could not be like that. I give her props. All the ladies think she's an idiot. She's like, no way. If I leave now, I get nothing and I might not even get my baby. She is going to make sure that she gets what she... I don't think she'd want to rip him off. I think she'd want to be like, I want 50% of the assets. I want it written into the will what these assets are, or at least... Or not the will, sorry. The will, like she's going to kill him. The post-nup as to what certain assets are,
yeah.
The time frame in which she's going to get these assets so he doesn't drag it on. Mm. She's going to get all this shit in the post-nup.
She's got
all this stuff on film. Mm-hmm. So that if and when she needs to sue for divorce and custody...
She's got it all lined up.
She's got all her ducks in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for her.
It seems really... Just the way that she's like pursing her lips and, you know, she says to the therapist, I'm worried that this is going to happen again.
Yeah.
So again, when they're in court, I was worried it was going to happen. You know what I mean? Like there's a pattern of behaviour from the both of them that make her look good, that make him look shit.
Yes. Well, especially what I really hated was when she was talking about the threesomes and the rules and she's saying how she doesn't want to do it anymore. And Michael's like, that's because of the baby.
Oh my God, is he a fucking moron?
And she's like, no, I've changed. And he's like, but you've changed because of the baby. So can you stop blaming your child for ruining your sex life?
She doesn't turn around and tell him to shut the fuck up.
I know, I can't believe it.
She bites her tongue.
She bites her tongue.
Because she's like, fuck you, I'm getting paid. Yeah. One way or another, I'm getting paid. I'm taking your kid and you can get fucked.
But does he not know how much of a dick he sounds like when he's saying that?
I don't know.
I don't think he likes the baby.
I don't think he likes the baby. I mean, we all know he didn't want a baby. He at first wanted a baby when she didn't want one. As soon as she wanted one, he didn't want one no more.
He's a fucking psycho.
He's a mess. He should just go to work, make the money, and he's going to end up with none of it.
Well,
and then I want, when they divorce, the following season, I want her to have a 24-year-old boyfriend.
Oh, well, she deserves that. She's young.
She deserves that. Because unlike the other women, she ain't stupid. She ain't sharing that money with anyone. Except her mum and Uncle Lump.
She's not... But she's not Robin. She's not forgetting where her money is.
She ain't forgetting to pay her taxes. She ain't stupid. She's, in my opinion, one of, if not the smartest of the lot. She's far more astute.
And she downplays how smart she is.
She does.
Mm. And that's the sign of someone who's really smart.
Correct.
Unlike Wendy, who's like, I'm smart.
Exactly. You know what? I got a piece of paper too. Could I pass like a... I couldn't even pass one of those multiple choices on psych now. And I've got the degree. I couldn't pass it like a psych 101 multiple choice test. Couldn't pass it. I don't need to, you know, guess. I know I can't pass it.
Yeah.
What does that fucking piece of paper mean?
I've got an English lit degree and sometimes I forget what adverbs are. And I'm like, what's an adverb again?
Oh, Oh, no. Please. The majority of people don't even know what the subjunctive tense is. It's so sad.
So, and then after he blames the baby, he starts blaming his own father.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck?
I wrote that in my notes. First he blamed Ashley, then he blamed the baby, now he's blaming his dad.
How weak is that?
Thank you. That is exactly the word.
It's weak. And I'm on board with your theory because she holds his hand at that point. And I was like, surely she's not holding his hand when he's whipping out these shitty excuses.
She is the queen of holding it in. She's good. Yeah. Sorry, I was gonna make a butt reference then. I thought
because of a torn anus.
Yeah.
And then he says, the baby pushed me out of the bed. Did you hear that?
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Well, I mean, not like physically, metaphorically.
He did say the baby pushed him out, but I don't think, did he literally say out?
The baby pushed me out of the bed, and that's when he starts talking about how he feels isolated and everything.
Oh, and that's when I wrote my notes. Ashley was just biting her lip, literally. She was literally biting her lip, holding, anyway.
I was confused because I was going to ask you, like, is Ashley buying this? And it looked like she wasn't, but she was holding his hand and I was confused, but you've just explained it perfectly.
I think that some part of her is holding hope.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a family. She's got a kid. I don't know what that feels like in that respect.
And it is a newborn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's what it all is. I think that some part of her is holding hope, but yeah. I don't think she's stupid. She's waiting for it.
She's waiting for it. She's like, I'm glad he's showing his feelings and that we'll be stronger from this. And I'm like, he's giving you bullshit excuses is what he's doing.
I was just like, I was listening to what he was saying, that his father focused on him to the point of severe emotional distress. And I'm like, look, mate, that's all well and good. What does that have to do with you sticking your dick in someone else?
That's what Lump says later.
That's what Lump says. Look, I think that perhaps we're missing things out, and we do find out later some other stuff that was in therapy, which I get it can make you fucked up. I don't know. I wonder if, apart from Ashley getting paid, I just don't see how what they showed us was helpful at all.
And when Dr. Donna says at the end, let's follow up in a couple of weeks, I was like, bitch, they need more than just a couple of weeks.
And he couldn't get out of that chair fast enough. Like, even Ashley kind of went like that.
But I was like, they need like 2 sessions a week, right? At least.
I mean, he needs his extra sessions.
He needs extra.
He says he goes, that's what he says, when things aren't good, I go into a shell and do things I shouldn't from time to time. How many times have you cheated on a dude?
This is just the time he got caught.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. No, I think that he's been caught before. I do think if my partner had cheated on me and then in therapy says, I do things that I shouldn't from time to time, I'd be like, what the fuck else have you done?
Yeah, you'd clock it and be like, sorry, what was that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I wouldn't be so sweet about that. I'd probably clock him like Monique. And so he does it to feel good about himself, to feel like someone cares about him.
I know.
This is why I never became a therapist, because I'd just be like, are you fucking kidding me, mate?
Are you fucking kidding
me? Like, because you're kidding yourself.
Yeah.
You want to pay me to kid me? Fine. But I don't want to have to hear it.
Oh, but it was good to watch that scene. That did give me a bit of life.
It was good. And then what happens? He says he needs help to stop that from happening. You need to stop me from sticking my dick in someone else.
He needs a cock cage.
Can he stop passing the buck? Can one thing that he says or does, can he take onus on that? We know he can take anus, but can he take onus?
Yeah, he needs onus. He needs to invest in a cock cage and take some responsibility.
But then Ashley cleverly says, the fact that Michael is capable of opening up here means he can do it again, which I think we will be stronger after this. And I wrote bullshit. She's setting herself up for a divorce windfall. Because she can turn around and say, he said it wouldn't happen yet.
I really hope so.
I don't know if it's going to be last season. Sorry, next season. But I think it'll be the season after, if not next season.
Well, she's got to have this next baby. Because she's pregnant again.
He ain't going to look after 2 kids while she goes to Portugal. maybe they can just go to Miami or something.
They're going to have to.
Yeah.
Well, it's COVID as well. So if they film again, they're probably just going to go to Surrey again. Please, car trip in Surrey.
Please, can we go somewhere else? One Surrey was enough.
So then we have a little quick cutaway scene at the teardown cabin with Giselle. She's FaceTiming Jamal. And did you clock what He says, you've already stolen half of my furniture.
I'm like, is he referring to when they got divorced and she got half?
And I'm thinking, is that why her home decor is such a mess? Because it's half of his shit and half of her shit.
I thought he meant like when we got divorced, you got half.
No, I think that is what he meant.
That is a fucked up thing to say. When I stuck my dick in someone for the 50 millionth time and made a baby and you had care of our three children and you only got 50% of our assets, bitch, all those kids are under 18. She could take 90.
I was more worried about the furniture being ugly.
And he tells her she needs a bigger TV and she's like, oh, the one you're going to get me. Like, sweetie.
I'm over Jamal and Giselle.
I'm like, why do you even want him to buy you a TV? I wouldn't want him to buy me shit.
There wasn't much of Giselle this episode and it was a nice break, wasn't it?
It was a nice break.
Like,
it
I've really always was. Liked Giselle, but she's been a bit annoying.
Yeah, everyone says she's nicer when she's getting some D. I just, no.
Not the anointed D.
I even found that last season when she was with, what's his name?
Sherman.
I found her annoying. Yeah. I find her annoying and smug when she's getting D.
She's smug. And then we go to Robin, who's doing like a little cheerleader dance at Juan's basketball game.
I thought that was kind of rude.
What, her dancing?
Okay, so my notes were, so she's making fun of the cheerleaders dancing. And my notes were, that's rude. They're professional dancers and you're a housewife on reality TV and you're making fun of them.
I thought it was more like, look at me, I'm a dag trying to do the dance.
Oh, I thought she was making fun of them.
Oh.
Yeah, well, she did look like a dag.
She did look like
she a did.
All I noted really was that Juan looked so hot.
Well, that's why I'm thinking she's doing it because she's looking at these like young hot cheerleaders and she's like trying to make fun of them. It's like, yeah, they're flirting with your husband when you're not around.
But then she looked like the idiot.
She did look like the idiot.
And it's like, you did all that for a scene that's going to get 3 seconds in this episode. Like,
well, yeah. I'm surprised the camera's with it.
Why'd they send the camera there?
Why?
Like,
that camera crew ain't cheap.
Maybe she just got one of the kids with their iPhone to film it and she sent it in.
No, it was good footage. Maybe one of the camera operators or producers has the hots for Juan.
Oh, God, I wouldn't blame him. He looked really good.
He did look good in that one, and I don't normally think he's good looking. You never see him fantastic. In a suit. He looked great.
He looked great courtside.
He did.
Oh, delicious. That's where he thrives.
It's true.
And then Wendy's just feeding the baby and she invites Ashley to the sip and see, and Ashley's like, I can't wait to celebrate your juicy little baby or something.
Well, that was
like that.
Cute what she said, but what I don't get is that Wendy's told the ladies to wear pink and I quote, to shower Cameron into womanhood.
I hated that.
That was gross.
I was like, why are we gendering colours so quickly for this kid?
I don't know. When she said shower Cameron into womanhood, it made me think of a vagine.
I know. Isn't that more of like a sweet 16 birthday, like a debutante ball?
I just told you it made me think of a vagina. I don't want to talk about kids and vagina. It was gross.
I don't know. It's not womanhood.
Well, I just, okay, that's it. I can't look at the colour pink at the same anymore. Just gross.
See, I took more offence to it because I was like, boys can wear pink, girls can wear blue, stop gendering colours, stop gendering your kids so young.
I wish that's what I thought. That is not what I thought. You know, vaginas are pink, blue balls, like it's all gross. I can't, boys and girls need new colours.
I don't know why your mind went there, but okay.
Well, okay. Because it's in the gutter. Hello, have we met?
And then we get another little fun scene.
Oh, this is creepy.
And Ray's bringing out Edgar and Edwina, which are their Halloween decorations. How fun was that?
They were scary.
They're meant to be scary.
Yeah, but I don't like scary. That was really creepola. I don't like those things. They're scary like clowns.
I just liked the way Ray was carrying Edgar in at first. It looks like it was Edgar's head on Ray's body. Just got a great laugh.
I didn't notice that.
And they have a little banter. Then they go for a cute little walk.
They do.
And we see the deer.
The deer were adorable.
They were adorable.
They were frolicking and playing. Or as Ray said, they were fighting.
And then Karen's like, at least somebody fighting for someone.
Yes, I wrote that too. It was so good. I wrote lols.
Yeah, so they discuss the little homecoming to Surrey and their disconnect.
Again.
Okay. And Ray pretty much just tries to take some credit for her success.
Yeah, he said,
while
we worked
giving her
hard.
A double thumbs up.
He said, we worked on it. She's like, we? It's like,
yeah.
What, you were there in the house when they filmed in the house? You were there sitting in the background bitching about making me a cup of tea.
I know.
You didn't do shit.
He's got no idea, does
he? Then again, though, she would say that we worked hard when he made money, but then she was raising their kid and plus his kid.
She would have been busy.
So bitch did work hard. Yeah. You're just sitting in the background making yourself a cup of tea. In your vests.
And I was actually proud of Karen because she says, yes. Like, she straight up says, like, is my public personality and my business intimidating to you?
100%.
And
it's exactly what it
he's
is.
He's like, yeah, I'm not getting the attention I deserve.
The attention I deserve?
Right.
Fuck. What is it with these men
seriously.
Who think that they are better than they are? That they are the center of everyone's universe. Sweetheart, she ain't thinking of you when you ain't around.
She's got Edgar in the basement if she's lonely.
She's got the deer. She's got kids.
Oh, deer.
She has actual friends, maybe.
Well,
she's got an assistant.
He's like, well, she's got that friend.
She's got
Matt or whatever his name is.
Oh, Matt, yeah. I thought you were talking about Blue Eyes, but anyway.
Oh, well, there is that PT that never came back. That Russian one.
He was pretty.
What a dream.
Couldn't we have him back?
Him and Juan should have a scene together.
Yeah, well, they probably, you know, there are people that look like him and Juan in other.
I've seen those scenes.
Yes, I'm sure you have. I'm not into those scenes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to look at what I can't have. Like, it's
not for you.
No, exactly. Thank you. It's not for me.
Not everything needs to be for you.
Exactly. You know? And I don't have a problem with that. No.
More people need to understand that.
I agree. Agreed.
And so he says that he wants her to balance her public life with her kids and with her husband.
He means with him.
He means with him.
He
the kids.
Give a fuck about
he's
the
already
kids.
Said the kids are gone.
And then he says that her fame and fortune have gone to her head.
Yes. He's like, I love that you're growing, but.
We all know it's what comes after the but,
mm-hmm,
don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Especially,
and
anyway.
Do you think
more but
do you think fame and fortune has gone to her head?
No.
I don't think it has either. Maybe a little bit.
I potentially would have said it a few seasons ago, but not since Ray's gone through his tax debt. Because it's not like he owed $90,000. Yeah. He owed millions.
And that first season, it seems like it went straight to her head first episode.
I think like she was always like that.
What do you think?
I don't know. Maybe it did go to her head straight away, but the last couple of seasons.
She's been mellowed.
Very mellow, very humble,
mm-hmm.
very proud of Karen.
Yeah.
Like Karen's the only one that's been able to hold herself above anything in the last couple of seasons. Yeah.
And she denies it and she's like, I'm still the same old Karen.
Instead of going ballistic at him for pressing her button like I would have, because he was trying to press a button.
Oh, yeah, he's a prick.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though he's a dag that I sometimes like to watch,
yeah,
he's still
too.
A prick.
Instead of yelling at him, she just says, no, I'm proud of what I've achieved. And what does she say? She'll never forget who she is and the shoulders she stands on.
Which was a nice callback to last episode.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She didn't bite.
Yeah.
She's not taking the bait.
I do think, though, when she's talking about everything she's achieved, like it's just a fragrance, right?
Her fragrance and.
It's just a shitty fragrance.
Yeah.
And the show.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure her fragrance is in Bloomingdale's. Oh, P.S. So I thought her fragrance was in The Price Line.
I went looking at Chemist Warehouse for it and I could never find it.
I think it was another one from someone else that I thought was hers because there wasn't a lot of packaging, but I was incorrect because I started Googling it and I was going to get you some. However, you can only buy it from her website in Australia.
Oh.
And it is $80.
No, it's not.
I'm not kidding. $80. Over $100.
Fuck.
Like, you can buy Sarah Jessica Parker's Lovely for the $29.95.
Right. Well,
$100. And plus, there'll be postage.
Yeah. I'm skipping ahead, but I looked up Robin's hat line.
Oh, me too.
$30.
No.
But all sold out.
$30, which is $41 in Australia, for a $4 hat.
And they're the ugliest things in the world.
And she said on camera that she designed it herself.
So no, she didn't.
Well, that's what she's saying. I could jump onto like those websites myself and just design it. And
oh,
get
my fug.
And she's got jumpers with sayings and
dope and hood. And I'm like,
please don't try me. I'm like, when did you have these sayings? Because I wasn't on Housewife because no one cared.
And did you see all the customer reviews?
It ain't no Father God in heaven. Like, I'd buy that shit.
Did you see all the customer reviews being like, love my hat?
No.
And they all post, like, the people who purportedly bought it post
happy
photos of themselves.
Happy embellished customers. Oh, that what, was her so family?
Fun. But also, did you notice that they're all sold out? So clearly yes. She's drop shipping from China and COVID's put a hold on everything.
I
she can't
absolutely
fill orders.
Love this hat. Perfect cut. Like, who writes a 3-line review on a fucking hat? Like, get a life.
Well, maybe it's like influencer marketing because no one bought those hats.
Okay, there's 2 reviews from the same person. Get out. Like, unless it was like post a photo of yourself in our hat to win a,
and
to get a free cameo, to get something for free.
Exactly.
Something's for free.
But don't you think it's embarrassing that the episode about it just airs and no one can buy it because they're all sold out?
Well, yeah.
They didn't sell out in the 3 seconds after I watched it.
Because I reckon, no, I reckon that the tub that we saw in the scene with the merch, I think that was all the merch.
That was it. That was, let's just talk about that scene, then we'll come back to Candace later. Yeah. So what the fuck was that scene with those hats?
Okay, so the big, oh wait, is that, are we skipping shit?
We're just skipping Candace. Just,
oh, well, fuck that.
Just
let's
while we're on,
Candace.
Just while we're on
so
the hats.
They open the scene and they're packing. And I was like, don't try to trick me, production, that they're packing to move house. We know she ain't moving with her 90K tax debt.
And her sons were shading her, being like, how much money have you made?
And she goes over 10 grand in a month.
And I'm like, why are you saying how much money you earn on camera?
I know,
the IRS are watching.
No, what an idiot. And then I thought, dumb. These hats are $29. You have not made $10,000.
No.
And do you mean made $10,000 or you... Like, because does that include how much the hats cost? Or is that on top of?
Oh, yeah.
Because if I say I made 10 grand, that's 10 grand profit. Like,
would we be trusting Robin to know the difference?
No, probably not. She probably doesn't know the difference between gross and net.
And when she said that, yeah, I just made my own hat one day and then everyone started commenting, being like, where can I get that hat? And I was like, never happened.
Honey, no one's asked you where you got anything.
It's so ugly.
I know. Like, if she got a freaking Posca out and drew love hearts on a hat, I'd believe it. Because we've seen the clothes that she wears that she's bedazzled herself. She borrowed the bedazzler from Jizzy.
She's so ugly. I loved the scene because of how tragic it was.
And the fact that her kids were giving her shade, she had 14 orders.
I know.
You did not make $10,000. Like, wait there, what's 14?
Maybe she said $10,000 including the house flipping.
I don't know. But is she still flipping? She flipped one house.
She's acting like she's so successful. And then she's like, but I do have to put my marriage and buying a house goals on hold for
obviously,
a while.
Obviously, you owe 90 grand, so you can't pay for a wedding. You legally cannot get a bank loan if you have a tax debt. Okay, so I just pulled out the calculator. 14 hats times $29 is $406. You did not make 10 grand. Is it really $406? That sounds like a lot. Yeah, it is. You didn't make 10 grand in a month.
Shipping.
10 grand divided by 29. So let's say she's including, let's say it's gross. She would have had to sell 345 hats.
She has not.
She's not sold 345. She didn't sell 345 hats in a month.
Who's buying hats?
I know you're like, it's COVID, honey.
Like, I mean, I love a hat, but like.
I don't love a hat. I have one baseball cap and one I'm going out to do the gardening hat.
What a scene that was. Anyway, now let's go back. So we did skip over briefly Candace driving to the courthouse.
I love skipping over Candace.
Did you notice how she was like illegally calling her mum not with hands free, just like holding
she's
the
holding
phone?
The phone. Bitch, you're driving
hypocrite.
To the courthouse. Put the phone down.
How bizarre.
She's a moron.
And she basically says in confessional that she was left with no choice but to file criminal charges.
And why? Because of the social media.
Again. Ten episodes ago, she was calling Ashley a roach.
100% she was.
This was the episode 1 and 2 storyline, Candace's social media being horrible.
Yep.
And now she's like, oh, no, it's a different story.
Yes. This is what she's upset about because people on social media are like, we're glad she clocked you. Yeah, I told you I was. Look, I'm not saying she deserved a beatdown. If she got one firm, hard slap in the face from Monique, would you be like, would you be Team Monique or Team Candace?
Probably Monique.
See, that's what I'm saying.
It's the, I don't know if someone said it later in the episode, but it was like the fact that three producers had to pull her apart. Like, that's the difference. Or maybe Robin said that on Watch What Happens Live. Like,
oh, okay, just, maybe.
Just the,
it was, it
the
was,
intensity of it.
It was violent. I'm not saying it wasn't violent.
But we've talked about that heaps. Yes, yeah. Like, and we're over it. I'm over the storyline already.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. She fake fucking cries again.
Is this in the car to the courthouse still?
Yeah, with her mum. She fake fucking cries. And I wrote, she's crying about the social media beating she got after she got an actual beating.
She's not popular. No one likes her.
No, and this is what she's upset about.
Yeah.
She has a mouth on her and then goes, why won't people be friends with me?
Right.
Because you're a mean bitch.
Like, I posted two different memes on, like, social media, and one was sort of like, more Team Candace, less Team Monique. And all the comments were like, Monique did nothing wrong. Yeah. She was asking for it. And then I posted like an anti-Candace thing and it just like blew up. Like,
wow.
Everybody was like, yep, she's a bitch. She's asked for it.
Yep. See, I told you.
No one likes her.
No. And then later in the episode, she does it again with her mouth.
She was so fucking rude.
I wish that the women turned around and went, Candace,
This is why
you're getting it. If no one told you, when you speak like that, someone is going to unleash on you.
Right.
Not saying that they should, but I'm telling you, they will.
Yeah, and she says on the way to the courthouse, she's like, I feel justified because I know I didn't do anything to deserve it and nothing warranted it.
Come on.
And then she says she appreciates that her mum's supporting her throughout this time. And I was like, your mum beat your ass too.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, why is Dorothy saying this has never happened to us? I'm like, what are you talking about, Dorothy? You did it to your daughter.
Dorothy's such a hypocrite as well.
If it was on camera, that would be mega. Honestly, I hope that Monique brings a purse to the reunion. To whack her with.
Giselle might.
Or bring a purse and say, this is for your mum to whack you in the face again.
Oh, that would be great. I hope she does too.
I've got a present for you. Actually, it's for Miss Dorothy. So that when you run your mouth off again, she's got a free purse to do it so she doesn't have to use her designer purse.
Did you miss Monique this episode?
Yeah, a little bit. But yeah. I don't.
It would have just been rehashing though.
Exactly. I don't miss the storyline.
Yeah, like, I'm over it.
Yeah.
Because then Candace meets up with her friend Cliffy from uni.
Cliffy wasn't cute.
Cliffy was wearing a floating cowboy hat.
I know. It was too...
How high up his head was it?
I know. Could you not get a hat that was big enough? Like, who are you, Pharrell?
How was it physically defying gravity on his head?
Because he's got a probably big-ass head under there. Or maybe he had big hair.
But it was like, it might have been the big hair. Right up that top of his scalp.
But Pharrell had that freaking weird-ass...
I hated it.
Yeah, everyone hated it.
I hated
it. But Pharrell's hot, so he can do no wrong. Cliffy Pharrell's is not hot. And also Cliffy's friends with Candace. Poor Cliffy.
Yeah. Poor Cliffy.
Yeah.
And they talk about and her this trip is, to the courthouse.
The best thing about the scene was the chicken wings, and I don't even eat chicken. Oh, yeah. And her telling Cliff that she's now wakes up in the morning with a panic. So basically she's got PTSD.
That's what she's trying to
that
pull.
That is fucked up.
That's what she's trying to pull.
I'm sorry. That takes away from people with actual PTSD. I found that offensive.
Exactly.
Sorry.
And not what about sorry. Her putting the post-it notes up all over the house saying it's okay?
She wanted that on camera for court.
What a fucking idiot.
Her mum, who's a therapist, probably told her, because that is a therapist thing that therapists tell you to do. Like, I've got on my laptop a little sign that says breathe. It obviously doesn't work. But my therapist at first was like, put post-it notes up around you. It's a real therapist thing to do. And I wouldn't be surprised if her mum told her to do that and then say, get it on camera.
Well, her actual therapist didn't. Because we saw that. Oh, so she brings up the social media bullying thing and I'm just like, yeah, it's all a bit fucking rich.
Oh, and she gets a fucking tissue out because, of course, she has to fake cry again. And the camera did a little close-up of her face when she was dabbing with the tissue.
There was nothing. Dry.
There was, like, she still had eyeliner in her waterline. If you have water on your eyes, your eyeliner, she gone.
And it's at this point when she pretty much tells Cliffy, she's like, when he's like, oh, is that jail time or whatever? She's like, yeah, I want it to be prosecuted to the fullest extent.
Fuck yourself.
When the statement of charges pops up, you see that it's 10 years prison and or $2,500.
Yep.
And I'm like, 10 years prison?
Yep. And she says she's pushing for the social media bullying to become part of the charges. And she refers to her public humiliation. This is why she's suing.
Well, didn't work out.
Because if the public don't want her on the show, she ain't going to be on the show.
Yeah. And I was a bit confused about the timeline. So when that statement of charges thing pops up, like, we know it's pre-Halloween because Karen was just setting out the decorations.
Uh-huh.
And then the statement of charges says the attorney accepted service of criminal summons on the 12th of November. And then
that makes sense.
And then we're at the Sip and See, which I still assume is pre-Halloween. And then they're getting...
No, I don't think so.
When's the Sip and See?
I thought the sip and see was a few weeks later. I thought something came up that said, I think it's a few, it might be a few weeks later.
Right, because I'm like, because then like when they're on the way to the sip and see getting the blog posts, which were posted in like the 9th of November.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm like, when's this all happening?
Potentially this episode, we've got things that are a few weeks apart.
Yeah, but then they always flash back and it's like the barn was like a week ago. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, no, you're right, with the Halloween.
Monique posted a screenshot of an email that she got from Candace's lawyer on Twitter. Did you see that?
No.
So what she received an email from Candace's lawyer on the 23rd of October.
Right.
Saying that civil action had begun.
Uh-huh.
Get your attorney to call me, that kind of thing.
Right.
And so Monique's saying that she then got her attorney to push for a mediation with Candace.
Uh-huh.
But Candace's attorney refused.
Right.
And Monique saying it's because she didn't want an apology, she wanted money.
Right.
Because civil action means money, Monique said.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it does.
Monique's attorney said, no, we're not paying because it wasn't an assault. It was a mutually consented altercation.
Yeah.
And then Candace's lawyers came back and said, well, we're going to sue for millions and Bravo's going to capture it all. And then Monique counterfiled.
Bravo's going to capture it all?
As in film her getting sued. Like that's Candace locking in her storyline, I think,
disgusting.
Is the implication.
Disgusting.
Yeah. And then Monique counterfiled.
Yeah, obviously.
And that's when the state threw out both charges because they were like, it's a mutually whatever altercation. Monique putting up because I know she just came to that breakthrough last episode.
So what you're saying is Candace goes to court, gives evidence or testimony. They sue on her behalf or whatever it is. They file charges, sorry.
Yes.
And then they get Monique's lawyer's response and then the judge is like, this is all bullshit. Chucked it out.
Well, so Monique's lawyers offers a mediation because remember Monique now wants to sit down and apologise and that stuff. And that's when she says, no, we're going to sue you for millions.
But
and
for so what? Then she counterfiles. You've got no medical report. Anyway.
They've got the footage.
Yeah, that's true.
But.
So what, the judge or whoever sees the footage and is like, I wonder. I want to know.
It must be. So when, well, we might see it coming up because I know
I'm hoping we do.
Yeah.
I'm hoping we do.
So again, timeline-wise, I don't really know what's happening.
No, that's fair.
But
they need to start fucking timestamping all the scenes.
Seriously.
Yeah, well, I know.
They were doing it.
They were doing like the to the minute.
To the minute. Back at that restaurant.
You're right. I do want that back.
I want that back.
I want that back.
Because I'm like, what month are we in?
I didn't think it was a big deal before when you said it, but now it's a big deal. I need the facts, people. If we're going to court, I need the facts.
Exactly. And I'm thinking, like, if you're getting texts on your way to the sip and see and you're pretending it's this article and I'm like, or are you getting a friend texting you? What's happening?
I need to know. Correct. Come on, Bravo. Step up your game.
We need, like, a Making a Murderer documentary series where they just lay it all out for us.
So love those. Anywho.
But, yeah, so now I'm, like, thinking from Monique's perspective.
Yeah.
That Candace is just trying to milk it for the show.
Oh, totally.
Which I guess we already sort of knew, but.
Yeah.
Candace is annoying as fuck.
Yeah. And she says my mental state is not being considered. I'm like, oh my God, bitch, that's why you got hit in the first place. But anyway.
Yeah, and then she's also like throwing Karen under the bus, being like she doesn't feel the full weight of Karen's support, and that's really bothersome.
Bitch, how many people like do you need to hold your hand?
Let your friend be friends with someone else.
I know. It's like, so childish. So childish. This is why I'm glad she didn't end up with the dog.
And which no mention of the dog.
No, none.
Because it was just
a bullshit scene.
Fucking bitch.
Totally. Don't fuck with the dog like that. That dog is like at the RSPCA thinking it's going home with someone and then you leave without it again.
Awful.
Absolutely disgusting.
And she says she's only functioning by the grace of God and a little bit of alcohol. A dog would have helped. You little bitch.
I know.
Fucking Candace.
I love it when you hate Candace with me.
Oh, fucking Candy Gal can go die in a ditch.
It was after the dog scene, wasn't
it? Was
it
was the dog scene that did it.
Yeah, the dog that did it.
When she walked into the dog scene, I was like, oh, yay, she's going to adopt a puppy. I really like her.
You thought that?
For a second, and then I was like, you're a dickhead, Nathan.
Yeah.
Grow the fuck up, Nathan.
I love you
I felt like
that.
Such an idiot.
Oh, you're adorable. You're so sweet.
I'm so sweet.
You are.
Okay, so then we go to Wendy. Did you have anything else to say about Candace?
No.
Nah, fuck Candace.
Candace.
We go to Wendy. She's inspecting a museum to host the sip and see.
Okay, I told. It says 3 days before the sip and see, she's pretending to preview a venue.
I know. She's booked in that venue.
You can't book it in 3 days before. You got to book it in 3 weeks before.
I thought the same thing when she's calling up to invite them. And I'm like, surely they've already got this earmarked in their calendars.
Yeah, exactly. 3 days before, you're pretending to fucking do a site inspection at an event. No.
But also, no. Who has a sip and see at a museum? What the fuck?
Well, she'll want to have it at a house because she's got 40, 50 people coming. I wouldn't want 40, 50 people clogging up my loo. If I'm having an event with 40 to 50 people, there is a portaloo happening or I'm going somewhere else.
You're under the go hire.
Yeah, fuck that. I'm locking my loo. After that event at your house, like, you're going to want one loo that's...
pristine.
Correct. Because, you know, back in the day I had many a house party and it's like you wake up at like the 2 in the afternoon, you got to pee and you're like, fuck, I need to go clean the loo before I go to the bathroom. You don't want to be doing that with a hangover.
So she brings up Eddie's family again on camera.
Oh, first it's the degrees, now it's Eddie's family.
It's Eddie's family. That's her new, like, I've got to get airtime.
Yeah, because no one wants to hear about the 4 degrees no more, which we're going to hear about it again.
Oh, we're going to hear it. But it is pretty sad. Saying how one of the boys asked, like, why they haven't met Eddie's dad?
Is this bullshit? I don't know. Because all of a sudden, rando, he's given his kid a bath and says, I really like your beard. Does my grandfather have a beard? Really?
I don't know. I feel like Eddie's a bit more genuine.
Did Wendy tell the kid to say that?
Oh, yeah, maybe that.
Or did Wendy say to Eddie, this is what we're going to do, and Eddie's so lovely he did it? I'm not buying it. Yeah. But anyway, look, I think it's sad for Eddie. And it I think that if 22 years with my boyfriend has taught me anything, when it comes to that person's family, you shut the fuck up.
Wendy's not the one to shut up.
She's got
to
shut up about it. It's his.
She keeps bringing it up on camera.
That's what I mean. Like, at the end of the day, it's not going to help Eddie reconcile with his family, if that's what he wants, to hear her talking about them, because they're going to pull apart everything she says and make it negative, and whether or not she means it that way. And it's clear she means it that way every time. Yeah. She's not said a positive thing about Eddie's family.
And she is saying you should invite them now, 3 days before the event, when they should have invited them.
They should have invited them 3 weeks ago with everyone else.
Yeah.
But if you're having a sip and see christening, whatever you're calling it, surely you're sending out an invite 6 weeks in advance.
I mean, pre-COVID, people got busy. But people had things to do.
That's what I mean. You want to book something far enough in advance that you know 90% of the people don't have anything booked.
You might even send out a paper invite. Yeah. Like, that's the kind of thing.
Well, it looked like there was when we saw the photo.
Oh, Eddie's family just got a text.
Well, they got a text.
Well, the mum got a text.
Of the paper invite.
Oh, did they?
That's what I thought. I thought it was a photo.
There was a big chunk of text because they highlighted it.
It looked like there was a text could have been an e-invite.
Oh.
I'd send e-invites these days. Who doesn't have an email address?
What is it, 2003?
You really got to pop something? You got to go all the way to the Australia Post and buy stamps? It's a waste of paper.
It's classy.
Oh, fuck that.
I don't know. If you're having a sip and say, you can put it in the baby book.
There's a baby book?
Yeah, people have baby books.
What for?
Oh, it's hetero nonsense.
You got the baby. What do you need a book?
It's for the kid to look at when they're older, I guess.
Oh, that's like when your mum saves all your shit from school. My mum did that. She gave me a box and went, this is all your school stuff. And I literally picked it up and put it in the bin, the whole box.
That's rude.
What the fuck do I want anything from school? I don't want to remember those assholes. I was actually going to say the C word then, but I toned it down. Love me.
That was lovely.
Yeah.
And then we move on to Ashley and baby Dean visiting Uncle Lump.
I love Uncle Lump.
Not Uncle Bunch or Uncle Clump.
We're the worst. We can't remember one of the best characters, whatever.
Him and T'Challa are up there as the best side characters.
And Curtis.
And Edgar and Edwina.
Okay, I don't like them, but I like Curtis.
Curtis, yeah.
He was Jizzy's dad rocks.
And Jizzy's gay friend was nice too.
Oh, he was adorable.
He was better than Cliffy.
Oh, I love him. What was his name? Oh, he doesn't need a name. He was cute. he can come over here. He doesn't need a name.
And then Sheila rocks up in an eye patch. Wasn't that fun?
And she says that her eye was oozing. I do not want you to say the word ooze. There is no need to say the word ooze unless we're talking about cake.
Oh, God.
The chocolate is oozing out of the cake. That's fine. No, actually, you don't. Pick another word. You don't need to say the word ooze. You don't need to say the word moist.
Like, if it's that bad, don't be near the baby.
Oh, I never thought of that. Does she have a hideous infection?
I think she does.
Oh, my God. What the hell are you doing there with the conjunctivitis? Get out of the house.
Oh, but it was so cinematic to just have her in an eye patch.
In an eye patch. I thought baby Dean was going to cry, but he didn't.
Baby Dean's been through a lot in his short little life. He's resilient.
Oh, we're talking about bullshit and baby Dean's been through a lot.
It's the only shit that Ashley will take.
It's
Sorry. This little scene, basically, Ashley's just filling in Lump and Sheila on the progress of her and Michael's.
Ashley is getting more shit on camera.
You reckon that's what it is?
Yeah.
She brings up the father being verbally abusive or giving too much attention to Michael, whatever the fuck that is.
Well, she said that Michael revealed in therapy, which we didn't see at all, and potentially we shouldn't have, but Ashley's saying it, so whatever. She says that when Michael's dad would come home, he would be warm and loving, and then as the night wore on, he would be drinking more and more and then turn, yelling and calling Michael names.
Mm.
So she's saying that he's all happy when everything's lovey-dovey, but when it's not lovey-dovey, he freaks out. And I kind of went, I get it, but it doesn't mean that it is. To me, that's not therapy that Ashley can help you with. That's you going to therapy for your own bullshit and stop taking it out on your wife and your kid.
I mean, Ashley just went to a lake house and then he cheated. There's no link there in my brain.
At the end of the day, he was initially saying that it's because she had a kid and has postpartum and has a broken booty hole, that my wife's not giving me sex, so I got it elsewhere. That I believe. Do I think that that is an excuse? No, I think he's a fuckwit. But
it's believable.
But it's believable. Mm. It's like, yeah, you're a dickhead, and that's a dickhead move. I get it.
Yeah. And Lump's not buying it.
No, Lump's fantastic.
Lump's amazing.
We love him.
He needs to be Dr. Lump.
It's true. It's true. What does he say? What does Lump say?
He pretty much just says that Michael needs to have more interest in his family than his penis.
Love that.
And that, they need to keep the focus on Dean and not on entertaining Michael.
Oh, I love that. He did say that.
And then Sheila says, Dean is barely out of Ashley's cooch. And Ashley says, that's the problem because Michael's not going up my cooch. What the fuck was that?
Look, I thought what Sheila said was funny, that Dean's too young for Michael to be doing that stuff. He's barely out your cooch. I totally agree. I totally agree. You've just had a child. You've just become a family, so to speak. What the fuck are you doing this shit? I agree. Sheila's doing that whole, like, if he's doing that now, what about when shit gets really boring?
Sheila's been great.
Sheila has been great. I don't know what's going on with Sheila, but she's fantastic.
Well, she's got an oozing eye, but other than that.
And then Lump said, he says, when you make those kinds of mistakes, you know what you're doing.
Exactly, Lump.
He ain't stupid.
Oh, God, I love Lump.
I do too. And this is why Ashley is doing this scene, so that on camera she can be said, if anything happens again, she will quickly exit her marriage.
She says that. She's like clear cut.
She's constantly saying it. It's on camera.
She is constantly saying it. And I love how Lump's like, I'm dying to see Michael.
Oh, that's right.
I'm dying to see Michael so he can face the music.
That's right. He's got to come around and take some shit.
Yeah, and Pirate Sheila's like, yep, me too. Can't wait.
Pirate Sheila. I love it. It's true. We have an Uncle Lump and a pirate.
That's great. Ashley's bringing it.
She really is.
All her side characters are on point.
I told you. Ashley's so good for this show.
She's wonderful.
She is. She was great from the minute she stepped on this stage. I loved her. I loved her. She was like the Dorinda who just walked in and you loved her straight away.
Yeah, well, then Dorinda took a turn.
She did.
She's starting.
Yeah, but, you know, Ashley doesn't need a nap to get through the day, so maybe she does. Yeah, Dorinda always takes a nap at 4.
I actually liked that about Dorinda.
Yeah, me too. I thought that was really cute. That rain, hail, or shine, didn't matter what was going on, what was filming, she goes, I'm going for my nap. So
if I was rich and didn't have to work, I'd be having a nap.
I know. I've turned into an old person who naps on the weekends now.
Oh, God, I love a weekend nap.
But when I was younger, I couldn't nap unless I was sick. Now, and I'm not taking a nap, mate. I'm taking a 3-hour sleep. Like, that's 3 hours ain't a nap.
Well, mate, the other day, on a Thursday night at like 8 p.m., I had a nap.
How do you have a nap at 8 p.m.? Isn't that going to bed?
I know, but then I woke up at 8:30 and I just potted around for a bit longer. Then I went to bed and I felt rejuvenated.
You went for a half-hour nap?
Yeah.
I don't do half-hour
naps. Naps are meant to be that long.
Oh. Is that why when I wake up after a 3-hour nap, I'm grumpy because it's not a nap?
Yeah, because you're disrupting your circadian rhythms or whatever it is.
I just thought I was a bad napper. I'm a full fucking grump.
Nah, you're napping too long. You're pushing your REM cycle too deep into the REMs.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then I get woken up and I'm all groggy and shit.
And hungry.
Oh, no, I'm cranky that I have to do anything because it's like I've got to get up and food prep. If I was just sitting on my ass ordering a pizza, I'd probably just eat and go back to bed.
No, bitch, you're napping too long.
Oh, I'm such a bad napper. I don't know what I'm doing. But 8 o'clock, I'm going to bed. Oh, and if I have a nap and I wake up and it's dark out, I ain't getting up. That's it. I'm done. I'm out for the count. So that could be
I felt great.
That could be like a 16-hour sleep then.
Hmm.
I'm such a nana.
Yeah.
Good times.
Good times. And then we move on back to Wendy prepping for the sip and see.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see her son walking in heels?
Yes, and a bow in his hair. I thought that was
cute.
What
a queen.
And I thought it was a... Well, I didn't want to presume. I thought, you know, it's just a kid playing with shit. Like, I loved big deal. It. I loved it too.
And I liked that they were wearing pink because you know how I thought, like...
Yeah.
It was just for the girls to wear pink. So yeah. I was glad that the boys were wearing pink.
Me too. Me too. No, I thought that was adorable. I figured they were just showing off for the cameras.
Yeah.
It was cute. I liked it.
I do like Wendy's boys. They're pretty fun.
They are cute. Oh, and earlier on in the episode, one of them was walking around without his pants up.
Oh, yeah.
And Wendy's like to Eddie, can you go pull his pants? But I thought, he's just mucking around for the cameras. Like,
I know.
But he's got a camera pointed at him. He pulls his pants down. I'm like, good for you, sweetheart.
And did you like how the sip and see was done up?
It was all right.
I actually thought it looked kind of nice.
I thought it was a lot of effort.
Yeah. I was like, okay, yeah. It's nice to be in an event.
Yeah.
Last few episodes, it's just been a lot of talking. That's so it was true. Nice to be out.
I thought that there was more decor than at Candace's...
Demonin bullshit party.
Whatever that was. We've been married for a year. Anniversary party.
Yeah, married for a year.
Oh, yeah, no denim honeymoon. And diamonds. Yeah.
And Robin's the first to arrive.
Oh, poor Robin. Thought,
was the museum in her state?
Oh, maybe. Because I had a thought. I'm like, how the fuck did Robin get there so early? She's 2 hours away from it. Well, almost 2 hours away from everyone, isn't she? Like, she's over an hour away.
Yeah, so maybe, like...
Maybe it was closer to where she lives.
Yeah.
In Baltimore.
Maybe.
Because she's in Baltimore, yeah? She is. She's in Baltimore, so...
Yeah, Maryland, which is Baltimore, whatever it is.
Yeah, you're never going to get that. Just, bitch, open up a map. Just Google Maps it. This is what I did. I went and opened up the Google Maps and I was, like, figuring out where they all lived. And then in the Google Maps, I went such as Baltimore to Potomac. Or, you know what I mean? To wherever she's...
Then did you print it out and drop a pin and then you, like, have a little wall of all the...
Don't make fun of me. You don't even know where the fuck things are. Oh, anywho. Okay.
Yes.
No, it's okay.
Turn. You're going to drag me? But yeah, it's very funny that Robin was first and she was not happy and she'll never be first again.
No, and good for her. Good for her for like, I've done, she's been prompt most of the season.
Well, what else is she doing? She's not packing hats into mailbags. Like.
Well, she's pretty chill.
She's a very chill person.
She's a very chill person.
Too chill when it comes to her taxes.
It's true. Yeah, no, 2 hours. But she arrived when the invitation said, apparently.
Yeah, and Wendy's, when she arrives, she brushes it off and she's like, oh, I'm Nigerian.
Yeah, she said the party starts at 8. Sorry, I'm skipping a bit. We'll go back. She goes, no, the party starts at 8 and the invite said 6. And that's when I thought, okay, was there a miscommunication? No, no. She's on Nigerian time, so to speak. You know,
and so like, were all the other guests, apparently.
Well, because they're all Nigerian and slash housewives.
And Robin's like,
no. I'm like, if you're going to rock up at 8 o'clock to your own event.
So bad.
Text your friends. FYI, the invite says blah, but I'm not getting there till blah.
Well, I mean, Robin might still have only rocked up at 7:30. Like, yeah, she still might have been late and was still early.
And they might have made it seem like she was there forever and it could only be like 10 minutes.
I mean, she just sits down and just reads because they all get the sort of
Text. Get the Google alert.
They get the Googs alert
sorry, I did jump ahead because I think we're back in the car with Wendy and Eddie with the Google alert. Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I thought was like when we saw Wendy get the text, I was like, oh, I wish we had cameras on Monique when she found out she was getting charged.
Well, she would have been served before, yeah.
Wouldn't you have loved what, like in the movies where they're like, delivery for Monique Samuels?
No.
And then she's like, yep. And they're like, you've just been served.
Either that or she could have got a notice in the mail or...
I would have loved to have seen it.
Who knows? I want to know all that detail. This is the detail I want.
Yeah. So, yeah, all the girls pretty much arrive.
She didn't have, like, cops go to her house, did she?
She might have.
And arrest her.
I mean, second-degree assault's a big deal, as they do say.
Wouldn't they have cops come to your door and arrest you?
I don't know if you get arrested.
Well, if you're going to go to jail for 5 to 12, summonsed? But if you go, okay, if you're going to jail for 5 to 12 years, if that's the charge of second degree assault, surely they ain't popping a letter in your letterbox.
Yeah, anyways.
That Google alert I think was bullshit. Then.
You're
right. I think that the sequence of events is out.
Yes, because the blog article they showed.
I'm with you. I'm confused and I need more informazione.
I need more informazione too.
That was cute.
So, yeah, so the girls end up rocking in and Robin's like, oh, finally.
Yeah.
What did you think of Giselle's off-the-shoulder bed sheet that
she was wearing? I wrote, Jizzy is in a moo-moo.
That's It was so bad.
It was awful.
It was awful.
She seriously looked like she... the fabric looks like that one that you can rip and you don't need to do a hem on.
Yes.
It's like, let's go to the Sparties or whatever, to the spotlight, grab some material and wrap it around myself.
I thought it's like if someone in year six had to dress up as a jellyfish, that's the look that would happen.
Totally. The only person that I think looked great, I thought Karen looked great, and I thought Wendy looked good.
I loved all the Nigerian class.
Oh, totally. Of course.
They were all amazing.
Yeah, they were all awesome. Of course they were.
So fun to watch.
Yeah, exactly. Robin looked crap. She was wearing like this little coat dress. I'm sorry. She's got the wrong body shape for that dress. You need to be 18 and a size 4 to look cute in that. Do you know what I mean? It's like a little girl dress for a grown up. You've got to have like... I'm not shading Robin's body at all. She's got a fantastic body, but that dress did not suit her. That's all I'm saying. She looked like shit in the dress. Not as shit as Jizzy, though. She looked terrible.
Jizzy looked awful. Yeah. And Ashley was wearing purple. She didn't get the brief.
It was pinky. I don't know. Ashley's dress didn't look great. She's just had a baby. I ain't saying shit about her clothes or her body or anything.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And Candace arrives with her mum and White Chris, so she's obviously bringing backup, right?
Obviously. Oh, obviously. And Chris is in a pink suit, so I'm really hoping that's the last time we see him in a pink suit. Did you notice how red his head looked while he was wearing that pink suit?
I'm always looking at his head.
He's had this red, round head and a pink suit.
So where has he been?
No one.
Why is he not in any scene? You mentioned it last week, like how he's just not in any scenes with Candace. Well, why is she on her own to the courthouse? Why is she meeting Cliffy?
Well, because he works. He's a chef. He's a shift worker.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like don't most chefs get to work at 6 in the morning and they get home at like midnight?
But his like wife just had an assault apparently.
Please. She didn't have a scratch on her.
I know. Not using the legal language she used.
Mary a mark. She didn't even have a bruise.
Yeah.
Look, I saw the footage. It looked ferocious. So I'm not saying she's lying about getting attacked, but
she's
from the look of her face and her body without any a scratch, etc., if I didn't see the fight with my own eyes, I would have said she was lying.
Yeah.
Isn't that fucked?
Yeah.
That is so fucked of me.
Yeah. And then Wendy's mum meets all the girls.
Yes.
And that's when she big notes herself being like, I'm an
Eom?
Eom?
It spells I-Y-O-M.
Yeah, Eom or something. And she's like, it means I'm strong.
She's a strong Amazonic woman who has done a lot for their community, is well educated and has something to show of her hardworking.
And I was like, you got tickets on yourself, huh?
Amazonic, I didn't think was a word.
It's not.
So I thought, for someone who's well educated, so I Googled it. Apparently it's in the Urban Dictionary. It's apparently means tall, strong and confident.
It's Amazonian.
Yes, but it's in the Urban Dictionary, so...
That's not real.
I realise it's not real, and I'm the first to admit it, but it isn't not a word as much as it is. You know what I'm saying? She's getting half points for that, is what I'm saying. I'm not going to turn around and say, how funny is that for someone who's apparently well-educated that doesn't know that Amazonic's not a word? It's in the Urban Dictionary, so she's getting a half mark.
Okay. But she is.
She's not getting a scratch and sniff. She might get a gold star.
She's so insufferable.
If I
was Eddie's mum, I'd hate her.
I know. I'd be sitting there like, how bad does his mum have to be if he's picking this side?
Right.
Because her mum is more insufferable than her, and we all know that I'm not a fan of the Wendy.
That crown that she just puts on her head. Like it was a crown.
I know.
It didn't seem to be like in keeping with the other traditions.
It was not. Oh, well, maybe it's because.
Maybe it was.
Maybe we don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah,
except
that's probably
we do know that she's insufferable.
Yeah. And she then Wendy does a speech like acknowledging her family.
Yes.
Like she's like, oh, I love my sister. Oh, I love my mum. Thank you guys. And I'm like, poor Eddie. Like Eddie's family are here not showing up and you're making a big song and dance.
I know. Yeah, that was a little insensitive, but not unexpected.
I mean.
Really. It's like, realistically, we've met Dorothy. Are we that? Am I that? Why am I so surprised with Candace? She's a product of her upbringing.
Yep.
She wants everyone to love her, and she's got a mouth on her.
She's got such a fucking mouth.
It's like, Candace, your mum's not going to love you. You need to let it go. Because your mother's a narcissist
but
and
mom's
probably
pretending.
Incapable of loving anybody.
Mm.
Anyway,
But a Nigerian sip and see is so fun.
Yeah, that did look fun.
This is when they do the making it rain.
Oh, did you notice just before that there was a shot of Jizzy, and I think she's wearing that same tired ass weave that she wore to Karen's, FYI. But yes, we do see the head tie ceremony, and they start making it rain. Yeah. But I did think it was funny that Wendy made this whole big thing of getting everyone's attention to call up some of the women who embody characteristics she wants her daughter to have, and she called up her mum and her sister, and that was it. That was it.
I know.
Why didn't you just turn around and say, thanks, Mum? And why didn't you turn around and say, P.S., you could have spat your gum out before? Oh. Cameron didn't need to see that. I wasn't into that.
She could have gotten Karen to make a speech, like,
yeah, Candace like did. And there was a dude with sunglasses on inside. What's up with that?
People like that look.
Yeah, but
people
not
do
a
it.
Celebrity. What do you think? I'm going to have cameras in my face all night. I better wear some sunnies. They do that so they don't get blinded by the flash so they can walk from the restaurant to the car. No one cares about you, dude. But I did like how Wendy said before they made it rain with the cash, she said, we spray you to celebrate you. I thought that was lost in translation when she said spray, yeah. Spray, spray. I'm like, you might want to find another word, sweetheart. That means something else in my world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it could be like how they're doing baptisms now in COVID where the priest has like a water gun and he shoots holy water at the kid.
They do not.
I've seen it on a meme, so I don't know if it's real.
What, they're going to get nerf the kid? Let's nerf the newborn.
There's a photo of a priest water gunning a kid with holy water.
That's not okay.
Maybe
that's either a meme.
It's a meme.
Or that priest is fucked up and getting kicked out of the club.
Yeah, maybe it's fake news that I bought into.
Well, it's fucking hilarious and I need to see it. Anywho, so I did notice that they were, again, with the food. Karen was very into the food.
Oh, she was. She's an eater.
Candace was not. First she was like, what's this? Oh, shut up.
I know. She's like, she was so scared of it. And I was like, fucking learn about another culture.
Or just shut up. No offense. She's teeny tiny. She probably doesn't eat.
Just live a
little. Maybe that's why she's a cranky bitch. She doesn't eat. Well, we did see her idea of a cheese board last week.
And remember when she was taste testing those little cakes for her anniversary party and didn't get any of them?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I just hit the mic. Oh, my God. She's such a lost cause.
She's awful. And so then the girls are all sitting down.
Yes.
And I know Dorothy's talking to whoever. And Dorothy's like, I've come to support Candace.
Oh, no, not to whoever.
Karen?
To Giselle.
To Giselle, okay.
Giselle asks Dorothy how long she's in town for. She says, I'm here to support Candace. And then Jizzy asks Candace about the charges.
She brings it up.
And I'm like, it totally backs up your theory that Jizzy and Candace have packed.
Right.
Because Giselle's the one asking all the questions in support of Candace.
Yes.
So I think you're right. I think there's a secret pact to get rid of Monique.
Yeah.
I'm totally with you. Like, I was fired up when you mentioned it, and I'm totally with you. Such proof in my eyes.
I mean, but Giselle's also messy and would bring it up.
She is, but I don't know. And I do get that she would naturally take the opposing side to Karen, but Karen's not saying whose side she's on. And I think at the reunion, I'm bracing myself for Karen to say, I actually am on Candace's side.
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
She is.
Because if she wasn't, I think she'd say so.
Yeah.
And I think she wants to be a friend to Monique. But I think when she said, if that was me, I'd sue, I think she's on Candace's side.
Well, and like, she can sue, but she can also toe the line and be like, yeah, what Monique was did was wrong, but don't want her to go to jail.
Yeah.
Don't want to cut her out. Like, want her to.
Yeah.
I think Karen was telling the truth when she's like, I want you to grow beyond this and figure out that trigger and work through your shit.
Totally, totally. I do. I agree.
And that's what, so yeah, Candace says she's stressed about the lawsuit, blah, blah, blah. And Robin's like, is the goal for her to go to jail? And Candace is like, yep. Pretty much. She's like, yep.
Yeah. She said, well, no, she says the goal is for the courts to do what the courts need to do.
Which means yes.
And then I think it was Giselle said that she could get locked up.
For five to 10 years.
Yeah, for 5 to 10 years. And Candace, that's when she's like, yeah, nonchalantly. And then they're like, but we don't want her to go to jail. And Candace is like, we don't.
I know.
Fuck you.
This is her just working the cameras thinking, I've got a storyline. I don't have to pretend to have a kid anymore.
Yes.
I don't have to pretend to pee on a stick. I've now got something.
I've got a storyline. You're so correct. You're so bright and thoughtful.
Yeah. And
so smart.
And they all sort of say like, oh, yeah, you know what, it was an assault. But then Ashley's like, yeah, but it started with the yelling match.
Yes, on both
and
sides.
She's like, I know I wasn't there, but I was in the bathroom and I could hear it.
And we got the flash. We got that shot because we hadn't seen that shot before, and what of her in the bathroom going, oh, my God, already, or some shit like that.
Yeah, she says, are you kidding me, as I'm peeing right now?
Yeah, so she did hear something.
And she's like, you guys were yelling, so it wasn't unprovoked, which is a good argument. That's and that's true. When Candace is like, we were speaking in elevated tones.
Oh, fuck off. Elevated tones. We're not in court yet. Calm down. Right.
And like, yeah, Ashley, fair enough to acknowledge that you weren't there, but like that's your viewpoint.
Yep.
And it's a pretty fair viewpoint to say that there was context to the fight. That's
exactly what
she's saying.
That's all she's saying. She's saying there's more to the story that you're obviously not telling your mother.
Yes. And then and then Candace is like, you're being paid, you're Monique's mouthpiece.
Oh, my God. Because they all basically, everyone but Karen is like sticking up for Candace at this point.
Yeah. And I'm just like,
fuck
remember
off,
how three episodes ago, Candace, you and Ashley just like made up and now she's so quick to just go off at her.
Exactly.
And she takes such a nasty little turn.
It's true.
Because Ashley says, I'm already married to a millionaire. Why do I need to be paid?
Love that.
And what does she say? She says, congratulations, not for long.
Not for long. With that smirk. And then Chris turns around and tells her to shut up.
He gets right in her face and he's like, you need to shut up.
Somebody needs to say, this is why you got smacked in the face. You didn't learn this lesson. Please learn it now before. If she gave attitude to a stranger like this, if she gave this attitude like random in a bar to a stranger, that person could potentially whack her in the face. I'm surprised that she hasn't been hit in the face before. I'm
or
sorry.
King hit, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I know Chris, as her partner, shouldn't be yelling in her face. But he had such a point, like, she should have shut up. Like, if you're in a court situation,
you can't.
Your lawyer would be saying, shut the fuck up.
The way that Chris told her to shut up was not down on her. It was literally like,
she needed to hear it.
Yes, exactly.
She needed to hear
100%. I don't think Chris was out of line. I don't think he was condescending. He was literally like, shut the fuck up. Like,
well, and then it was really rude, like, knowing that she just got cheated on.
Told her, yeah, congratulations, not for long. You're not going to be married. Like, and she doubled down for a bit.
She did.
She doubled down. And then Chris
she said, be careful
like,
how much you defend someone.
And then acting like she cares about her. You just insulted her. You don't care about her. And Chris is basically like, stop.
She expects all of her friends to be on her side.
And then she says stuff like this.
Your friend just got cheated on and you're throwing it in her face.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. She hasn't learned her lesson from getting hit.
No.
Not at all.
This is why Monique needed to go around the barn and keep doing it. Remember when I said she's still going off at the mouse?
Yes.
You've just been hit by someone and you're provoking them 2 seconds later.
Yeah.
Like, what is wrong with you?
And yeah, well, thank God for White Chris for
it's true.
Telling her to shut up.
Even if he came in a pink suit.
And then Karen's like,
she's not impressed.
She's like, it's an awkward position for me to be in the middle. And then Candace has the go at her.
I know. For not being on her side more.
Right?
It's like, what? And then what happens? What does Robin ask? Oh, Robin asks Karen if her opinion has changed.
And
yes.
And she says it has, but she doesn't want to share it now.
Because she wants to support both women.
She can.
Yes.
You know, she's not being called up to be a witness yet.
No, not
so
yet.
So she can say or not say whatever the fuck she wants.
Exactly. I respect that. I respect the fact that she's keeping it to herself.
Yeah.
Because that is very hard to do.
Yeah.
It is really hard to do.
And Karen says, like, I told Monique to text you to say sorry or whatever.
Yes.
And
oh, that's right, because Candace is like, why didn't you stick up for me more, or why didn't you – you said you were going to talk to Monique for me. Why does she need to talk to Monique for you?
Mm. Candace was just lashing out at all her friends, well, except for Giselle.
Pretty much. Yes, pretty much.
Pretty much. And so it's just like, fuck off, Candace. She's not humbled at all.
Yes. No, she's not.
And I know, I'm just thinking, like, if there's a next season, I really hope Candace doesn't come back.
Me too.
Like, I really hope we get Monique. Like, Monique gets the show in the divorce.
Me too.
I mean, can you handle this?
I could do without Candace.
I could really do without her.
I mean, we have Ashley and Michael. We've got Karen and Ray. We don't need Candace.
No.
We don't need the Not For Lazy Mums podcast. Monique has to find something else to give us, though.
I mean, she beat up a bitch for us this season.
She did. It's true. But without that.
She's got a bird.
I mean, T'Challa, like, look, I hated T'Challa first episode I saw him.
I know you did.
And now I'm loving T'Challa. Look, particularly because he accosted Wendy. That was the best. So many good moments this season. Fuck.
It's been a great season.
It has. This is the best Housewives season in years. I'm trying to think of another show where the entire season was this phenomenal.
Right? And like you could call this episode filler, but what are we at, an hour or something? Like, yeah, it's not really that filler.
No, this wasn't filler. The last episode was filler.
It took a long time, last episode.
That it did. And basically what happens next? Eddie thanks everyone for coming, which is basically, okay, we're done. Get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out so I can pick up my dollars.
And they do show them picking up the dolls, putting them in a little bag.
Yeah, the little kids. Oh, that was cute. I hope the kids get to keep the dollars.
I like Wendy's kids.
Oh, they're adorbs. I like Wendy's husband. I just don't like Wendy.
And then she again brings it up and she's like, your people didn't come.
That was rude. I was like, leave it alone, Wendy.
This is the third time this episode she's bringing it up. He doesn't bring it up.
But you can like Wendy if you want because lots of people like Wendy. I just don't get it. That's all.
Oh, I do like Wendy.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
But I do see that she's annoying as well.
Yeah. No, she annoys me. And yeah, that scene ends with them picking up the cash. And then what happens next time?
So next week. So we've got one telling the family that he's going to propose to Robin. And then we see Ashley telling Monique that Karen would have pressed charges.
I don't know if I would have done that. I don't think I would have done that simply because when Karen has defended her stance on this fight many times in front of them, that is a hard thing to do when everyone's telling you to do something and you're like, no, I'm not doing it because it's not right. Like that's – I would have given Karen a break. If I was Ashley, I would have shut the fuck up in the moment.
Then we see Giselle and Jamal having some sort of like conversation alluding to like a breakup type thing.
Yeah, what she said the only other option is we not continue down this road. I'm like, do you mean literally because you're in a car? Like, again, let's not make this into a thing if it's not a thing.
That's the worst storyline, Jamal. I'm done for that.
I know.
And then Karen's insulted by Candace and Karen will not abandon Monique and choose a side. I didn't really catch what was going on, but it sounded like a lot of yelling.
Yes. So Wendy was on the phone with Candace and says, how are you and Karen doing? She says, not good. And then we see Candace like at a lunch or something with Karen. And Karen says, I'm insulted that you keep telling me that I should be against Monique and that I won't choose a side and abandon Monique. And Wendy's there too, or if this is another scene, and Wendy's getting mad at Karen with Candace for not picking a side.
Isn't it fucked that two girls can have a physical fight and then Karen's the one in trouble?
Yeah. Like, what? Because she's not picking a side.
Leave her out of it.
Yeah.
She was there. She saw it. That's
it. I'd be like, if you don't want me to hang out with you because I'm not picking a side, then I'm out the door. No probs.
Right.
Doesn't mean I'm going to pick anyone's side again. I'm just – and the funny thing is I think we're going to get to the reunion and Karen's going to go, actually, Candace, I was on your side.
But you were a fucking idiot.
But you beat me off the fence and now I am over here and – you've got enough people. Go fuck yourself. I don't know. I don't think Karen's going to say that. I think Karen's going to say, I actually was on your side, but the way that you treated me.
While my marriage is breaking apart.
While my marriage is breaking apart. While my parents just died. While I'm moving left and right. While I've got this tax stuff with my husband. Yes. While I've got all these rumors going on.
And, like, they were at the lake house with Karen when she was drunk and she was sort of revealing, like, she would have left.
Exactly.
No follow-up.
No follow-up. How are you? Are you okay? You revealed a lot.
No one's
given two shits about Karen. And I'm pissed about it.
And they're putting all these expectations on her.
Leave her alone.
Leave her alone.
Leave her alone. She's going and she's just sucking it all up.
I'm so glad she had her homecoming moment last week.
Me too.
She needed that.
She really did need Surrey.
She needed Surrey.
And we all need Surrey.
Oh, because I'm sick of the fight. I'm sick of talking about the fight.
I'm actually like Lucy apple juice about it now.
I'm Lucy apple juice.
I need more info. I want more detail on the other hand.
I do want to follow the charging.
I just don't want to follow Candace wham, wham, wham.
I can't stand Candace milking it for sympathy right now.
That's it. And look, the thing is though, Nathan, you need to prep yourself. It's going to happen for the rest of the season. It's all we're going to get out of her. Like, if she isn't in a neck brace next episode, I'd be surprised.
Oh, fuck. She probably will be.
Yeah, totally. Anywho.
Anywho, we'll find out next week. All right. We'll see you next time on Bravo, Bravo, Effing Bravo. Bye.
Bye.